CRI News, I'm Liu Ye in Beijing. Chinese President Hu Jintao will leave China on Sunday as he prepares to pay a state visit to Austria before attending the upcoming G20 summit in France. Earlier this week, President Hu spoke with his French counterpart, Nicolas Sarkozy, by phone to discuss the European Union's new debt crisis relief plan and the G20 summit. The Chinese president hopes the G20 will be able to convey an unmistakable signal of growth and stability to the international community. The UN Security Council has voted unanimously to end its 7-month-long no-fly zone over Libya, as well as the mandate authorizing NATO operations. It comes despite a request from Libya's interim government for the Security Council to hold off on a final decision. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen has confirmed that NATO will conclude its operations in Libya by the end of this month. Queen Elizabeth II has opened the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Perth, Australia.
And I wish heads of government well in agreeing further reforms that respond boldly to the aspirations of today and that keep the Commonwealth fresh and fit for tomorrow.
The Queen joined Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard and Commonwealth leaders at the opening ceremony and vowed to bring needed relevancy to the Commonwealth in a time of global uncertainty and insecurity. The lead-up to the summit has been dominated by pressure to get tougher on human rights abuses by members or risk losing its purpose as a group. More than 30 countries are now in the process of sending tents, prefabricated housing, and containers to quake-stricken Turkey. Israel has sent its first plane carrying pre-built housing to Ankara, with another 3 expected in the coming days. So far, over 530 people have been confirmed dead from the disaster, with over 2,300 others listed as injured. Thousands more have been left homeless. China's special envoy to the Middle East is throwing his support behind the Arab League's attempt to bring the months-long crisis in Syria to a close. Wu Sike, who is in Damascus for a 3-day visit, says the Syrian people's legitimate demands should be respected. Wu has been meeting with Syria's vice president and foreign minister. The envoys' meetings come amid the latest push by the Arab League to bring the fighting in Syria to an end, which is expected to include another ministerial meeting this coming weekend. At least 27 Islamic militants have been killed in the southern Philippines and more than 60 others wounded as they engage in days of gun battle against government security forces. Officials in the southern province of Zamboanga, Sibugwe, say government troops saw 27 bodies after they captured a rebel camp on Thursday. Soldiers have resumed operations against renegade leader Waning Abdul Salam of the Mara Islamic Liberation Front, who was wanted for a series of kidnapping and extortion. In Thailand's capital of Bangkok, people are still desperately trying to escape the fatal flooding. Floodwaters are now moving toward the inner parts of the city. With a 5-day national holiday now taking place in Thailand, officials are urging people in Bangkok to travel to other places in the country to avoid the flooding. However, despite the rising floodwaters, some are choosing to stay to protect their homes and businesses. So far, Thailand's worst flooding in over half a century has killed more than 370 people and forced the evacuation of over 100,000 from their homes. Saudi Arabia's interior minister has been appointed as the new crown prince. Naif bin Abdul Aziz Al Assad has been tapped as the new heir apparent by King Abdullah. This follows the death of the previous crown prince last week in New York. Naif have served as Saudi Arabia's second deputy premier and interior minister since 1975. Japan's factory production fell for the first time in 6 months in September as the export-reliant country grappled with a strong yen and global economic turmoil. The government says factory output fell 4% from August as manufacturers produced fewer cars, chip-related machines, and cell phones. The result was worse than market expectations for a mild decline. The government projects industrial production to rebound in the fourth quarter. China's first airplane to use biofuel has made its inaugural flight, jetting off from Beijing International Airport. Its launch comes as airlines struggle to find ways to keep costs down and reduce carbon emissions. That's the news for this hour. I'm Liu Ye in Beijing.